His pen was bold, his heart was free. He left behind a radiant legacy. He left behind a radiant legacy.
The radiant legacy.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode and program of the series The Radiant Legacy in the Memory and at the occasion of the commemoration of the Urs of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmat, the Imam of Ahl-Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Alihi Rahmatul Rahman, Alhamdulillah, as we have discussed many other topics with regards to his biography, Inshallah Azza wa Jalla, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali as a jurist beyond borders, Subhanallah. He was a great jurist and he has written responses to many questions that would come from Indo-Pak subcontinent, from other parts of the world, even from another totally different continent altogether. Let's say, for example, he would receive questions and queries from the Haramain Sharifain as well as some Arab countries. Together with that, he would also receive questions from South Africa, and that is in the African continent, apart from the Asian continent, Subhanallah. So yes, he served Islam on a global scale and he responded to those questions and given a reply to the istifta and the questions that he received throughout the world, Subhanallah. And today, as we are discussing this program, let's inshallah Azza wa Jal first and foremost recite Salawat al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the beautiful hadith, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together Sallu al-Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. MashaAllah, as you can see, our beloved guest Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah Ta'ala, he is here, mashallah. Sayyidi, as we are reciting Salawat al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why not recite Durood al-Radawiyya Sharif at this occasion when we are mentioning the Imam of Ahl-Sunnah Sallallahu Alaihi Nabi Lumi wa Alihi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Salatu wa Salaman Alayka Ya Rasulullah. So Alhamdulillah, when it comes to Sayyidi, the Islamic queries that Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala he would receive, one particular query came from the roving ambassador of Islam. Allama Abdul Alim Siddiqui Meriti Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, who is his Khalifa, his student.
Right.
And he went around the world spreading Islam.
Subhanallah.
And he made da'wah of Islam. Even here in South Africa, he came, mashallah. And his brother also, his elder brother, Maulana Mukhtar Ahmad Siddiqui Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he was also the student of Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. And I've met some people who whom he has taught, and they are gone like very elderly now.
Allah.
They must be in the 80s and 90s, Subhanallah. And I had the privilege of meeting those personalities, Alhamdulillah, in Durban, in the city of Durban. And Subhanallah, and every time I meet them, they would discuss the memories of Maulana Mukhtar Ahmad Siddiqui, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, Maulana Abdul Alim Siddiqui, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali's memories and how they would learn by him, mashallah.
Subhanallah.
So they had very close experience with him. So he, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, one day he was present in the court of Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, and he knew that his teacher is the great jurist of Islam, mashallah. So he posed a question. He said that what was the first thing created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To that Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he replied that the Hadith Sharif states, Ya Jabir, inna Allah khalaqa qabla al-ashya'i nura nabiyyika min nurihi. O Jabir, the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the light of your prophet from his light. And then Maulana Abdul Alim Siddiqui rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, he clarified what was his actual question that he wanted to ask. He said, right. I mean the first creation pertaining to this world.
Allah.
So Sayyidi Ala says, okay, in this regard then Allah Azza wa Jal created the skies in 4 days and the earth in 2 days. Meaning from Sunday to Wednesday, the skies were created. And Thursday to Friday, the earth was created. And he also created Sayyidina Nabi Adam alayhi salam between Asr and Maghrib on the same Friday.
Subhanallah.
So mashallah, this is how Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala would answer questions on the spot. This wasn't a written question, it was a verbal query. And he would just the answers will be on the tip of his tongue.
Allah.
So yes, this was the grand personality of Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. And he also says a very beautiful hadith in his responses that he gave. Mm-hmm. He, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, was asked a question: what is the lowest stage of spiritual knowledge? Mm-hmm. That is ilm-e batini, the spiritual right. knowledge. And to that, he says that Shaykh Zunnun Misri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that once I undertook a spiritual journey and returned with the knowledge that was accepted by the general public. And in my second travel, I brought back knowledge that was only accepted by the learned scholars, ulama, and rejected by the ordinary people. Upon returning from the third spiritual journey, I brought knowledge that was rejected by both the ulama and the general public. Subhanallah. And he says that this travel does not refer to a physical journey, but a spiritual transcendence undertaken by the heart and the qalb. Hmm. This is the situation of spiritual knowledge, and the lowest degree of this knowledge is fully acknowledging it.
Subhanallah.
And one must accept the instructions given by a master of the science, Sayyidul Mukashifin, Shaykhul Akbar Muhyiddin Ibn Al-Arabi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says that the lowest stage of divinely blessed knowledge is the affirmation and verification of those arifin and arif billahs who possess it. And one will surely reject it if one was ill-informed, basically.
Allah.
And then he says, the Hadith Sharif says, عن أبي بكرة قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول أغدو عالما أو متعلما أو مستمعا أو محبا ولا تكن الخامسة فتهلك. And subhanallah, Sayyidi Ala, he quotes this hadith, and this is to encourage people to gain the knowledge of deen.
Subhanallah.
And this is such a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is so motivating at the same time. He says that the Sahabi Rasul, he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying this, Ughdu aliman, rise in the morning in the state that you are either an alim, or at least a seeker, meaning mutaallim, a student, mm-hmm. or mustamiyan, or someone who listens to the ulama and sits in their company.
Right.
And the fourth one is at least be a lover of the ulama.
Oh,
don't be a fifth one, because then you will be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Allahu Akbar. Therefore, Sayyidi Ala then says, mm-hmm. therefore it is not permissible for a non-alim to lecture and preach the deen to the people.
Mm.
Yes, and if somebody is not a non-alim, then he can read from a book and
right.
say it to the people, narrate it basically. Subhanallah. So this was a guideline given by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali in his Malfuzat Sharif, Malfuzat-e Ala Hazrat.
Right.
And these Malfuzat Sayyidi were recorded by his beloved son, Sayyidina Imam Mufti Mustafa Raza Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala, whom we know as Mufti Azam Mahind, rahimahullah ta'ala. And then a person asked him in the gathering, Sayyidi, mm-hmm. what is the meaning of alim?
Mm-hmm.
He says, the definition of an alim is that one is fully equipped with the beliefs and the aqaid of Islam, mm-hmm. and this knowledge must be constantly present in the mind at all times. Mm-hmm. One must also have the potential or expertise of solving any question of deen from books and kitabs without the assistance of any other person.
Allah Akbar.
So see how he, subhanallah, guides us
right.
on this path of suluk, on this path of knowledge, spiritual knowledge, subhanallah, deeni knowledge, and highlights in importance.
Absolutely amazing, Master. You know, the insight, the foresight of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah was truly amazing, that not even words can describe how knowledgeable he was, how intelligent he was, and together with all of that, how wise he was as well. Likewise, one person asked Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah that does one acquire knowledge, does one acquire ilm just by studying books? And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, I mean, his answer is so fantastic that he says, this is not sufficient. Meaning, it's not sufficient just to only study books in order to acquire knowledge. He says that sitting in the company of the learned and the pious also develops ilm, also develops knowledge. So he says that acquiring knowledge just by the books is not sufficient. He says that sitting in the company of the learned and the pious also develops knowledge. He says the company, discourses and advice also have a great impact in the acquisition of knowledge. So this shows us that if one thinks that they're just going to gain knowledge by studying books, by reading books, yes, that is one way, but not entirely. It's not, you know, it's totality. Mm-hmm. Rather, one has to sit in the company of the ulama. One has to be in the company of the scholars, because by sitting in the company with knowledge, one also learns how to gain adab, you know, how to gain respect. I mean, what's the point of knowledge without adab? What's the point of knowledge without respect? So one has to have respect and one has to have adab. As they say in Urdu, be adab, be naseeb, ba adab, ba naseeb. So by sitting in the company of the scholars, one actually gains adab and respect, and what they couldn't learn in books, they actually learn more from the pious scholars as well.
Subhanallah, Sayyidi. And we can get this in so many pious predecessors, this quality that just by being in the company of, let's say, somebody being in the company for a prolonged period of time, in the company of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, in the company of Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, those by being in his company, they became Khaja Qutbuddin Bakhtiar Kafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, just by being in the company of Sayyidina Khaja Ghareeb Nawaz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and then learning from him. Subhanallah. So yes, we hear this from Sayyidi Al-Azhar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that this is also a way of gaining knowledge, not only through books, but rather by being in the company and learning from the learned scholars. Somebody asked a question, which days are good for traveling?
Right.
So to that, Sayyidi Al-Azhar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi replied that Monday, Wednesday and Saturday, these days are good for traveling. And he says the Hadith Sharif states that if a person begins his travel before sunrise on a Saturday, then I, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am his security.
Subhanallah.
Allah Azza rahmatullahi ta'ala then says that Alhamdulillah, my second trip for Hajj and my return were within these 3 days, and by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, I was born on a Saturday.
Subhanallah.
And then somebody asked, Sayyidi, what was the age of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he embraced Islam? He said that he was 38 years old. Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala then further says that with the exception of Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was 83 years old at the time of his shahada, the rest of the three khalifs, meaning Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and plus Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they were 63 years old when they passed away.
Allah.
Same as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there was a difference of dates, you know, between, but the ages were the same.
Subhanallah.
On a different dates, but they lived for a period of same amount of years.
63 years.
Yes.
Subhanallah.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also 63 years old when he physically departed from this mundane world. Subhanallah. So this is such immense Islamic knowledge, just verbally sharing it. Allah in such great details.
Life was also on one occasion, and this alone, you know, it shows the immense knowledge that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat had, which Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon him. Like one person came in and asked, Ya Shaykh, Ya Sayyidi, are jinns and paris, meaning fairies, are they Muslims? And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he says that yes, one fairy embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says once she was absent for some time, and when she returned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he inquired about her absence. So she replied, she said, O Prophet of Allah, one of my family members, they passed away in Hindustan. So I went to attend the janaza, I went to attend the funeral, and on my way, I experienced something very amazing. And that is, she says that I saw Shaitan performing salah on a mountaintop. And on seeing this abnormal act of Shaitan, I questioned him that your work is to keep people away from salah. But you yourself are performing salah. So this, the cursed devil, Shaitan, he replied, he said that I am performing my salah with the hope that Allah Ta'ala may accept my worship and forgive my sin. Allahu Akbar. So here we see how Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he answered to this question. I mean, just instant, you know, immediately, not even referencing back to any book of that sort, because this was divinely bestowed upon him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah, subhanallah. This was the immense knowledge of Sayyidina Ala rahmatullah. You mentioned Shaitan making sajda.
Yes, he was performing salah on a mountaintop.
Performing salah.
Right.
Yes, and we all know his salah, it means nothing.
Yes.
Because he had this enmity and this this malice for Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, this is the result of going against the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These Anbiya Allah, they are the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are subhanallah, the great Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if anyone has any differences with them, then Allah azza wa jal, he dislikes it. And therefore, devil, Shaitan was cursed, and he will be accursed until time immemorial. And another person came and asked Sayyidina Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, "Oh Imam, is today the first day of the month?" Inquiring about the date at night. So Sayyidina Ala Hazrat said, this questioner, he came at night, and he's asking if today is the first day of the month. So Sayyidina Ala Hazrat said, "Yesterday was the first day because the moon was sighted yesterday." The calculation, and then Sayyidina Ala Hazrat also explains as to how many days, how many ways in which, you know, days are generally calculated, and how many methods are there to calculate our dates, days and nights. He says the calculation of the beginning and end of dates is done by four methods. The first method is, let's say, the Christians, the way they calculate their dates from midnight to midnight, from 12 a.m. to 12 p.m., right? That would be from 12 a.m., that is midnight, to midnight. That is how they would calculate their days. The second method is that of the Hindus. They determine the dates from sunrise to sunset. That is the day for them.
Right.
And the third method is the method of the Greek philosophers. They calculate their days from midday to midday, meaning 12 o'clock during the day until the next day, midday. And this is the method used in astronomy as well. Subhanallah. And him being an expert in the field of astronomy. And then he says the fourth and the correct method is the Islamic calculation that is done from sunset to sunset. This method is welcomed by the mind because darkness comes before light.
Right. Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
So yes, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala was so well versed in so many different fields, Sayyidi.
100%.
The question could be related to science, it could be related to history, it could be related to Quran, Hadith, Sharia queries.
To mathematics as well.
Yes.
And there was a person who got stuck with a mathematical problem and he couldn't find the answer to it. So he heard of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, and when he went to him, immediately Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah gave him the answer to what he was looking for. Likewise, one person comes and he says, "Ya Sayyidi, my nephew is born and I'm trying to think of a name for him." This person says in the court of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah that please suggest a name for my nephew, my newborn nephew. So Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he says that the best names are those that are prescribed in the Hadith Sharif. And all my nephews, including my son, they were named Muhammad. So he says that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah quoted a few hadith explaining the excellences and the virtues of the sacred name Muhammad. He says that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states, if any person out of love for me names his child Muhammad or Ahmad, then Allah Ta'ala will forgive both the father and the son. And another hadith sharif says that the angels will announce on the day of Qiyamah that he whose name is Muhammad or Ahmad, proceed to Jannah.
Subhanallah.
And it is recorded in another hadith that angels come and visit those homes in which lives a person by the name of Muhammad or Ahmad. And it is also reported that if a person by this name is present in any consultative gathering, Allah Ta'ala sends His mercy, sends His rahmah on such a meeting. And another narration states that what will you lose if there are two or three persons in your home by the name of Muhammad? So subhanAllah, look at how Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah advised this person, you know, to keep your the name of your nephew by the name of Muhammad or Ahmad. And what will you lose if there is two people or three people and all of them, they are named Muhammad? So this is a very important point that nowadays, once we come across people wherein they say that they want to keep very unique names for their children, and they would go to extreme ends, Masab, to make sure that there is no one in the entire world that must have this name. Some would even keep their child's name Larib, you know. Others may keep different names that sometimes it has no meaning. And if it has no meaning, sometimes the meaning of the name itself, it has a bad meaning, you know. So we have to keep names, of course. It must be a beautiful name. First and foremost, the meaning of the name, it must be beautiful. The name must have a good meaning, yes, to it. It shouldn't have a bad meaning. So whenever anyone is naming their child, if it's a boy, then yes, one should, by all means, name the baby boy Muhammad or Ahmed, and then keep a calling name as well, out, yes, of respect for the name of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Definitely, and one shouldn't get too fancy when it comes to names.
Yes, 100%.
Right? The best names are those, subhanAllah, such as Abdullah and Abdurrahman,
subhanAllah,
as mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then, of course, the name of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam itself, Muhammad or Hamad. And then there are names of the prophets of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Ibrahim, yes, Ismail, Ishaq, and so on, mashallah.
You know, surprisingly, this name that I've mentioned, you know, that people, yes, keep, like La Raib. I have seen a person wherein he opened the Quran and he came across La and he came across Raib. So he joined it together.
ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ.
Yeah, and
they wouldn't even know that it's two different words.
They wouldn't know.
Yes.
And he joined it and he said, لَا رَيْب, this is the name of my child. No, so we see that the people, well, they must be educated. They have to educate, yes, themselves on this, because they are giving a name to the child, and according to the name given to the child, that child will be called on the day of Qiyamah with the name given,
yes,
to him.
Yes. And it is the responsibility of a father to give their child a good name. And this, yes, is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and a good upbringing, good education, and so on. And now, we see people with fancy names, right? I was reading a risala where it is mentioned there that one person, just, you know, some people, they like to keep Quranic names. There are many things in the Quran, but you can't name your children as that,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Such as, let's say, a person wanted to name all his children on from the Surah Al-Kawthar.
Right.
So, they gave the name, Inna Atainaka Al-Kawthar. Kawthar. The second child's name, Fasalli li Rabbika Wanhar. So Wanhar became the name. Right, not knowing what it means, right? And then the third name that was kept, Inna Shaniyaka Huwal Abtar. So Abtar became the name.
Allah.
Now Abtar, okay, Kausar is beautiful, right?
Yes, it's
beautiful. One hair, it doesn't make sense. Uh-huh. But it's possible, right?
Right.
But to name Abtar, devoid of all good,
Allah,
deprived of all virtues.
Abtar.
Abtar.
Just because to them it sounds like very unique and,
yes,
and out of this world.
Yes. And I mean, by the same token, there are many other words that are mentioned in the Holy Quran that we cannot even think of naming somebody. Yes. So you name somebody Sariq, thief, we wouldn't, right? So like that, there are many terms and words that are mentioned in the Holy Quran that can't be kept as a name.
100%.
So in these cases, we need to consult the Mufti-an-Ikram, as subhanAllah, we are reading this. How did that person come to know that the virtues of the beautiful name of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the lips of Allah Hazrat, he got to hear that. Firstly, because that person came and he asked Allah Hazrat that, you know, I want to name the child. Mm-hmm. What name should I keep?
Right.
And he got the answer. Mm. So if we don't ask, how do we know? How will we know?
Nowadays, Masab, people do ask, but they ask Google, Masab. And then sometimes when they ask Google for unique names, then, you know, it's, you get, that's when we hear of a person by this name, by Abtar, yes, etc., etc. So that's also an issue. People, if they want to ask, then they should ask a scholar, they should ask a Mufti to keep a beautiful name or give suggestions of a beautiful name for the children.
Yes. And like that, if you want to know what kind of names should I keep for my children, mm-hmm, then yes, we need to create awareness about it. Nowadays, it's another trend to mix the two names together. Mm. The name of the father and the name of the mother.
Right.
And make a murakkab. And then they come up with funny name. It doesn't have, first of all, it doesn't have any meaning.
Yes,
right?
Baseless.
It's just an imaginary word that they came up with. And sometimes it even sounds awful.
Yeah.
So, inshallah, we need to decide and know which direction we want to turn, whether we want the Islamic guidance or we want to do our own things. Mm-hmm. And then names have an effect also.
Ah, yes, that's also very important.
So, yes, we need to be careful when it comes to our naming convention, especially naming our children. They are not just anybody. They are your children.
Yeah.
You got to be serious about it, right? If we come to, I mean, even when it comes to buying their clothing, we go shop to shop looking for comfortable clothes, right? You don't just buy anything run of the mill.
Yes, it's comfortable, it's
exactly
quality.
Quality and safety and hygiene and all of that. Mm-hmm. When we want to buy food for our children, mm-hmm, we do thorough research on which baby formula is good and,
yes,
and all these nutritious foods that we buy for them. Mm-hmm. And then we also, when it comes to their upbringing, let's say their schooling, mm-hmm, we choose the best of institutes and the best of schools and the best of uniforms and shoes and clothes, mm-hmm, and so on and so forth. All of this is for what? Because we care, right?
Yeah.
But when it comes to choosing their name, we just pick anything.
As long as it sounds nice, you know, not knowing whether the meaning is good or bad,
exactly,
not knowing whether it has a meaning or not.
Yes.
So all of this has to be taken into consideration.
Okay, let's, with the same token, right? You go to a restaurant and you see on the menu, sometimes you are checking the menu and there will come maybe some fancy name of the food. Mm-hmm. You don't know what that food is. Would you order it if you don't know what it tastes like or what it looks like or
you
what
wouldn't.
It's made of? You wouldn't, right? But then when it comes to keeping your child's name, you're not worried what it would mean, what will be the repercussions of it, what will be the deeper meaning of it, the consequences of it. I mean, that's the name the child is going to keep for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we're not worried whether people are going to make fun of it. You know, because it sounds funny, it means something funny, right? So we need to give more thoughts to it.
Most definitely.
And sometimes I am in the Jamia with the students, and every time we see Zaid is the prime suspect in everything.
Yes,
right?
yes.
And so every time Zaid's name comes, you know, Zaid hit Amr, uh-huh, Zaid did this, Zaid did that.
Zaid, Amr and Bakr.
Yes, and their fights are always going. And you might be able to relate to it. Like there's a child in Jamia by the name of Zaid, subhanAllah. Then he's a very popular person.
Yes, yes. He becomes famous in no time.
Yes, because everyone knows. Because everyone knows the name Zaid, right? And they can't unsee it. Once you see it for the rest of your career, right?
Yeah.
Even when the istifta, you know, Zaid did this hypothetical name.
Zaid is all given. Over.
Yeah. Zaid is all over the place. Very popular. SubhanAllah. But SubhanAllah, at the same time, we must also see that the name Zaid, where it's his origin. Zaid was the name of Sayyidina Zaid bin Sabit radiyallahu ta'ala, the famous Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as Sayyidina Zaid bin Haritha radiyallahu ta'ala, another great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was very close to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the beautiful names and the great names of the Anbiya Ikram, of the Sulaha, of the Sahaba, Sahabiya, Tabi'in, Tabi'i Tabi'in, Ahl Bayt Yathar. These are the names that we must look up to, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Sayyidi, as you mentioned about the beautiful name of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the episode regarding Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. So if we read a few ashar of, let's say, the Khalifa of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali and his student,
mashallah,
that would be rightly said, right? And then he says, Allama Jamil Qadri Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he says in his poetry regarding the beauty of the name of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says, Aankhon ka tara naam e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam e Muhammad, aankhon ka tara naam e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam e Muhammad. Allahu Akbar. And then he says, "Hain yu to kasrat se naam lekin." Although there are many names, millions of names, different kinds, right? But which is the most beloved? And he answers that question. He says, "Hain yu to kasrat se naam lekin." तो कसरत से नाम लेकिन सबसे है प्यारा नाम मोहम्मद सबसे है प्यारा नाम मोहम्मद और दौलत जो चाहो दोनों जहां की दौलत जो चाहो दोनों जहां की कर लो वजीफा नामे मोहम्मद कर लो वजीफा नामे मोहम्मद सल्लल्लाहु अला मोहम्मद सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम शैदाना क्यों हो उस पर मुसलमान शैदाना क्यों हो इस पर मुसलमान रब को है प्यारा नाम मोहम्मद रब को है प्यारा नाम मोहम्मद सल्लल्लाहु अला मोहम्मद सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम नूह खलीलो मूसा ईसा नूह खलीलो मूसा ईसा सबका है आका नामे मोहम्मद सबका है आका नामे मोहम्मद दोनों जहां में दुनिया और दीन दोनों जहां वसीला नाम मोहम्मद है वसीला नाम मोहम्मद सल्लल्लाहु अला मोहम्मद सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि by racism. And then he says, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks me, what have you brought with you? I will present this beautiful gift of the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says,
Puchhega Mola, laya hai kya kya? Puchhega Mola, laya hai kya kya? Main ye kahunga, naam-e Muhammad. Main ye kahunga, naam-e Muhammad. Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
And here he says something similar to what Amir al-Sunnah Daud Barakatul Aliya has said. Amir al-Sunnah says that I have come to recognize the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam by Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, through Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala
Ali. Subhanallah.
And here Allama Jamila Qadri Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he's saying the same thing in poetry. He says,
apne raza ke qurban jao, apne raza ke qurban jao, jisne sikhaya naam-e Muhammad, jisne sikhaya naam-e Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu apne jameele razvi ke dil mein, apne jameele razvi ke dil mein, aaja samaaja naam-e Muhammad, aaja samaaja naam-e
Muhammad. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa sallam. Subhanallah, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali was that influencer. Influencer with regards to the spiritual world. He would influence people spiritually, subhanallah, and he would distribute his faizan, the spiritual faizan, not only in his area of Bareilly Sharif or in his province of Uttar Pradesh, but rather throughout Indo-Pak subcontinent, throughout, subhanAllah, the borders of the world, Allahu Akbar, as far as the Haramain Sharif and in Sham and subhanAllah in South Africa, mashallah, Buta Buti, there was a Haji Sahab who would write to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala the questions, and then Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala would answer those questions for him. And that formed a thick book, and that is called As-Sunnatul Aniqa fil Fatawa al-Afriqa. Basically, it is known as Fatawa Africa. Subhanallah. Fatawa Africa in Urdu, in Fatawa Africa. Africa, we pronounce it in English. You pronounce it as Africa. Subhanallah. So, Ala Hazrat is not a stranger to this Subhanallah continent as well. In one question, somebody asked, is Salah valid if one's musalla is slightly off the direction of Qibla and one does not rectify this, then in this case, is Salah valid? So Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he said that if the musalla is within the 45 degrees parameter, then Salah is valid. 45 degrees, basically, if we know math, right? Let's say, for example, if a pizza is cut into 8 parts, then each one would be 45 degrees, basically, right? So 45 degrees parameter, then Salah is valid.
Otherwise, 45 degrees right or left?
Right or left.
Right.
Altogether 90 degrees. So this is the Qibla, 45 degrees on the right and 45 degrees. So this is how much a person can deviate from the Qibla direction itself. Not deliberately, but rather, if that happened, then Salah is valid. If it's not more than 45 degrees.
Right.
Otherwise, not. And he says most of the masajid in Bareilly Sharif, they are 2 degrees off towards the north. And most of the masajid in Bombay, they are 10 degrees off. I mean, he observed all of this, subhanAllah.
Allah,
and just to know all of this with his naked eyes, just passing by, visiting certain areas. And then he says they are 10 degrees off in Bombay towards the south. And if the Sharia did not allow the 45 degrees parameter, then Salah of millions of Muslims would become invalid.
Allah.
There is a great wisdom in creating the forehead in an arch shape. It's not flat. It's an arch shape. So that allows for and the 45 degrees left
for
and right.
For a person to know how much.
Yes. Wow. And if ever the forehead moves slightly towards the either side from the Qibla direction, then it will be still within the 45 degrees parameter. And this would not have been possible if the forehead was flat.
Hmm.
Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said that some people think that if you face west with north on the right hand side, then the Qibla will be towards the direction of the left hand, meaning the south. This is not the correct way to determine the Qibla direction. It can be applicable in India.
Right.
Subhanallah, and he is a jurist beyond borders. He's not only talking about India, but yes, he is also talking about all those around the world, how they should determine their Qibla. And this method, he says, the same method that worked in India, it wouldn't work elsewhere, other parts of the world. This method cannot be applied in all parts of the world. So how great care he took, meaning he knew he wasn't only addressing the people of India, maybe, subhanAllah, he knew that this writing will reach in South Africa, and today we'll be discussing it,
mashallah. Truly remarkable.
And very far-sighted, awliya Allah, subhanAllah. They are really truly gifted, and Sayyidi Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, being the Imam of Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, he actually has written a book on Qibla direction, where he has outlined 10 scientific methods by which one can determine the Qibla direction no matter where you are. As long as you know the altitude and the longitude of an area, the width and the measurement of the area, then it will be fairly easy for you to follow those methods and subhanAllah, calculate the Qibla direction on your own, provided that we follow those parameters that he has listed there in that book. And that book is Kashful Illa an Samtil Qibla, and it's a very difficult book to understand.
Right.
In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to even understand the writings of Allah, first of all. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. MashaAllah, dear viewers, we have a wonderful kalam as well. Yes, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, go and listen to this naat and really immerse ourselves. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulallah, Ya Habiballah, Ya Rasulallah. वो जो चारे चांद को तोड़ दे उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया वो जो चारे चांद को तोड़ दे वो जो चारे चांद को तोड़ दे उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया वो फिर उसके टुकड़ों को जोड़ दे उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया वो जो चारे चांद को तोड़ दे जो वली की असर सजा हुई तो वो वक्त पर ही अदा हुई जो वली की असर सजा हुई जो वली की असर सजा हुई तो वो वक्त पर ही अदा हुई तो वो वक्त पर ही अदा हुई छुपे आफताब को मोड़ दे छुपे आफताब को मोड़ दे उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया वो जो चाहे चांद को तोड़ दे उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया वो पीरों से के शुक्रों को जोड़ दे उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया वो जो चाहे चांद को तोड़ दे
रुख नार उनके गुलाम को लिए जा रहे वो मलाइका
रुख नार उनके गुलाम
رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ وہ پکڑ کے خلد کو موڑ دیں وہ پکڑ کے خلد کو موڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ پیروس کے شکلوں کو جوڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے وہ نبی کی موٹی کا معجزہ کہ وما رمیت کرے خدا
وہ نبی کی موٹی کا معجزہ وہ نبی کی موٹی کا معجزہ کہ وما رمیت کرے خدا کہ وما رمیت کرے خدا
وہ نگاہ کفر کی پھوڑ دیں وہ نگاہ کفر کی پھوڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ پیروس کے شکلوں کو جوڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی
لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی
وہ لعاب پاک سے جوڑ دیں وہ لعاب پاک سے جوڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ پیروس کے شکلوں کو جوڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ beautiful kalam Sayyidi and recited no beautifully doubt. As well as we are discussing the answers of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali and him being a jurist beyond borders inshallah if you could shed some light
well Mawasab you know as we know that many many people from across the globe have asked questions to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah for them to gain a much better clarity on whether it was a fiqhi matter, whether it was an aqaid matter, whatever the case was, even if it came down to giving suggestions to name their child, they went to Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah. One person came and he says, Ya Sayyidi, I want to know how many people will a hafiz of the Holy Quran save on the day of Qiyamah? The person says that I heard about 10 people of his family. So Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, he says, yes, that is correct. A crown which will light up the east and the west will be placed upon the heads of the parents of the Huffaz on the day of Qiyamah. And he says that a martyr, a shaheed, will intercede for 50 people. A haji will intercede for 70. And the righteous ulama, they will intercede for countless people. He says that the alim of deen will intercede for all those who have any sort of contact or relation with him. Some will say that he gave him water for wudu, while some will say that he did certain work for him. These people will be judged accordingly and sent to paradise and to Jannah. People will give account along with the ulama and sent to Jannah, while the ulama will be held back. And they will inquire as to why they are held back from entering Jannah. Then Allah Ta'ala will say to them that on this day, you are like the angels to me. Intercede for the sinners, because I, meaning Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, will accept your intercession and forgive the sinners. All the righteous Sunni ulama will be ordered to intercede for their students, even though they may be as many as the stars in the sky. Allah Ta'ala will accept the intercession. SubhanAllah. Look at this answer of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah, where he didn't just say yes or no to the person who asked the question. Rather, he said yes, and he substantiated it as well for the person.
SubhanAllah. Wonderfully said, Sayyidi, mashallah. You know, if somebody asked for a little bit and he gave the whole platter,
SubhanAllah.
And this is what happens when we go to the pious predecessors and ask them a question, they give you a satisfactory response. After that, no stone is remained unturned.
Yes.
SubhanAllah. Another questioner came and he asked, what is the revered personal names of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? His personal name, not attributive names, personal name. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in response that Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has two personal names. He is known as Ahmad in the past revealed scriptures, and he is known as Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Holy Quran. And there are countless names of attributive connotations of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says Allama Imam Ahmad Khatib rahimahullah ta'ala accumulated 500 of them. And Sirat-e-Shami records another 300. And I, Allah rahmatullahi ta'ala himself, he says, has added another 600.
Allah.
And these total up to 1400 names. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is known by a distinctive name in different domains and areas.
Subhanallah.
Every area, whether it is the earth, sky, oceans, mountains, etc., knows him by a special name, and he is addressed accordingly. Then the question I asked, do these numerous names of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as many as 1400 names, do they have different qualities? They mean different qualities? He said, yes, they do.
Subhanallah.
So he was so immersed in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that subhanallah, he actually did all of this research, and it was on the tip of his tongue.
Allah.
It wasn't a written query.
Verbal.
Yes, a person just asked and response came, as if he has been doing research on it for years.
SubhanAllah.
This is what happens when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants someone ilmi ladunni. And he had been granted and bestowed by the court of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through his faizan. Therefore, in his world famous fatawa, he writes and he names it not his own contribution, but al-ataya an-nabawiyya fil fatawa ar-radawiyya, that it is the bestowal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the fatwa of Raza.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep us connected to these luminaries, and
Ameen.
Always keep us close in their proximity, so we are also showered by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Bijahi nabiyil amin. Until next time, inshallah azza wa jal, keep watching Madani channel. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله عليه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
His pen was bold, his heart was free. He left behind a radiant legacy. He left behind a radiant legacy.